So what are we doing to break free from the herd? When I say the herd, I mean the general thought process, the general ideas that permeate this world. Well, obviously, we have broken free from the herd based upon our belief system, based upon us being here for these holy days. We have shown very obviously to the world that we have broken free from it, that we aren't following after the general consensus, the general thought process, especially now when you see, as mentioned before, the advertisements for what is coming up soon, the Halloween observance. There's also something else that we have shown through our obedience to God of what we are doing to break free from the herd as well. In Matthew 6, verse 33. Something we all demonstrate day by day as we keep these laws of God. Matthew 6 and verse 33, Christ's own words. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you and all these things shall be added to you. Seeking God's will, seeking God's kingdom first is what separates us from the herd, separates us from mankind's self-will. But how much of our attitude are we distancing ourselves from the mob mentality of this world in all other aspects? We are going back tomorrow into the world, into our regular routines, back into what we could say is a mob mentality of people following after what they think everybody else is doing that seems right in their own eyes. But unless we are diligently trying to change, we can easily be brought back into that wrong mindset, that mob mentality that permeates this world. Exodus 32, we see an example of how easily, how quickly Israel was drawn back into that. After seeing such great signs from God, especially. Exodus 32, and beginning in verse 1. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, and the people gathered together to Aaron, and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him." So quickly, these people forgot these great wonders that they had been shown before them because Moses delayed in his coming, because Moses wasn't following after their will. And we continue in verse 2, "And Aaron said to them, 'Break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me.' So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. And they said, 'This, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.' So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord.' Then they rose early the next day, offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." You know, they seemed to be doing what was right in their own eyes. That mentality took over those people at that point, and they forgot why they were there. So what caused Aaron to cave so quickly? That's one question I have. We can get a little glimpse of it maybe in Exodus 32 and verse 20 of why that and why these people caved so quickly. "Then he took the calf which had been made, burned it in the fire and ground it to powder." This is Moses. "And he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink from it." As we read through, this is the initial thing that Moses did to get rid of this idol. But as you continue on, we knew that these people were set on evil. These people were focusing on themselves. They ate, they played. And with all of this, God wasn't in the picture. They made their own gods so quickly after God had done all of these great things for them. In Psalm 86, David was dealing with people in the same mindset, evil people that quickly turned back to evil, quickly turned back to the mob mentality of their time. Psalm 86, in verse 14. Psalm 86 and 14. O God, the proud have risen against me, and a mob of violent men have sought my life, and have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. So these people didn't set God before themselves. They were violent. They were proud. And when David is under his trials, those that hated him were seeking his destruction, that mob. And he saw what it was that influenced them, their pride. They were violent. And obviously, neither of those traits show as an example that people are putting God first. But David was displaying a heart like God's in this situation. If we read verse 17, David said, "Show me a sign for good, that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me." He wanted them to see their own sins, to see what it was that was driving them away from God to their own ideals. And we see similarly in Acts 17, Paul dealing with this attitude. Acts 17 and verse 4 through 6. And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews, who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathered a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too." Again, pride and violence, that mentality overtook these people to act against what God's will was. You know, brethren, our belief will and is turning this world upside down. It is in direct opposition to Satan, who is the one who influences the mob mentality of people that don't think, people that are blind to God's will. The true church has always been a small entity. We've always been a small vote, as we heard before. We've always been small. And we're put out in this vast sea of blindness, of worldly traits, ungodliness, which we are going back into. Brethren, if we believe that we can fight against this alone, then we truly are lost as well. Many do just this. Those have become maybe disillusioned with what they expect from God, disillusioned with any form of church government. Where are they now? What are they doing to bring forth and proclaim the true message of God, to seek first His kingdom? Matthew 9, in verse 36. We see what happens when we don't have that guiding influence in our lives that leads us to God. Matthew 9 and verse 36, speaking of Christ, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd." You know, our tendency when not being led by God is to stray away from the flock. It happens. All of us can recite examples of friends and maybe even family that have walked away completely, just disbanded from any notion of what is serving God's will, of seeking after the kingdom of God first. And especially when we forget who it is that is truly leading us. 1 Peter 2. First Peter 2 and verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. And that's what we are doing here today, brethren. Those of us that have forsaken the mentality of this world, we are following after Christ's own steps. Continuing in verse 22, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. It's that attitude that we have if we have any hope of continuing steadfast in this world that we're surrounded. All of us will be surrounded by such great deceit of Satan. You know, we have a promise from our shepherd that he will never let any of us get lost if we are following him. But we have to be willing to be led by Christ. Romans 8 says, Romans 8 and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing, created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, brethren, as we go back into this world, stay close to our shepherd, the true source of our salvation, to the words inspired for our perfection, the words in this Bible.